This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Sunday, November 17th, 2024, the 25th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
They that are learned shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Next week, actually, is the last week of liturgical year. Next week is Christ the King. We will pay particular attention to the King and King and Lord of Lords and his position as he reigns over us. This week is the last in Trinity Tide. It is the last week in which we, you know, pick from this reading or that reading, do homilies about. But we never want to look into going to Mass and just learning stories. This is not what our faith is about. As a matter of fact, if you look at your faith that way, it is a very superficial faith. Particularly when you read the words of the Holy Spirit through the prophet Daniel, when he says, "They that are learned shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." It's a very churchy and Old Testament illustrative way to say those who know about God are going to go to heaven. That's what it says in a nutshell. We need to know about him. And we do not know about him in ideas that we can come up from our own minds or our own desires. We need to know what he says about himself. We need to hear what he says about who we are, what he expects of us. These are the things that get you into heaven, thus saith the scriptures. We live in a very dangerous time. There are so many out there. Well, I don't believe that. I don't think that. I don't believe. Who cares what you think or what you believe? Because you know what? It makes absolutely no difference whatsoever what you think or what you believe. It's what you should know about God. That is the important thing. That is what gets you into heaven. What you know about him, from what he says about himself. That's called revelation. We hear that word a whole lot. Reveal. God reveals himself to us. He has to reveal himself to us because we're separated from him right now. This is the reality of our condition. Before the fall, we weren't separated from him. We know from Scripture, book of Genesis, we know that God walked with Adam and Eve, spoke to them. It's like, you know, we're speaking with them. There was communion between the two. It's hard for us. You hear that, it's like, oh, that's a mythological, fanciful story. No, it's not. That's how things were before the fall. The only thing we can get our heads around is what happened after the fall. And that's, from the get-go, nothing about God. Nothing. Zero. We need to understand that after the fall, one commentator said, like this illustration, hadn't heard it before this week. One of the commentators said, when the fall occurred, there was a curtain that was put up between God and man. There's a curtain. And he goes on to say, if you walk into a room and there's a curtain there, you might hear something behind the curtain. You might have a good idea. There might be indications that there are things behind the curtain. But you don't know one thing about what's behind the curtain until the one behind the curtain starts talking to you through the curtain. And once he starts talking to you through the curtain, if you'll pay attention, oh, there's somebody behind the curtain. I need to go listen to what he said. Who are you behind the curtain? Here, this is who I am. Why are you behind the curtain? This is why I'm behind the curtain. This is why there's a separation. Well, how do I fix that separation? This is how you fix that separation. This progressive communication between God and us, that's what's going on with us. When we are born into this world, we know nothing about God. Nothing. You are dead in trespasses and sin. Even that concept is like, ugh. No, God loves everybody. Everybody's a child of God. Everybody that's born into this world is a child of God. Lie. It's a lie. Yeah, indeed. From a creative sense, everybody's a child of God, but so are rocks. He created everything. When you want to know him, you need to listen to what he says about himself. This is where we find ourselves. This is why we go to Mass. God has supernaturally revealed him. There is this thing called natural revelation. Read about this in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Psalm 19, Romans chapter 1. If you walk outside and just look around you, take a walk through Gatorland or wherever there's like a big nature thing going on, go to Ocala National Forest, you cannot walk through those places. And well, you can if you got a lot of faith in the world. This all happened by accident. It takes so much more faith to believe that all came into being because of an accident than it does to believe that God made it. But at the end of the day, the one speaking through the curtain says, you look outside, you have no excuse. I'm going to hold it against you. If you've never been to church, for you to say, I don't exist, I'm holding it against you because it is so obvious that I do exist. And so, you know, it sticks in the craw so much, you are born dead in trespasses and sins. You know nothing about God. You have to learn about him. This is supernatural revelation. Natural revelation is just that nature speaking, obviously, that there is a God. Supernatural revelation takes it to the next level. Supernatural revelation, it's got to be progressive for us. It's been progressive to the people of God throughout salvation history, and it's got to be progressive in our lives also. You look at salvation history. As soon as Adam and Eve fell, God gave them this sort of this enigmatic, you will bruise his head and he will bruise his heel. You know, what the heck is that about? That's about Jesus. But from that point, when this enigmatic, cloudy kind of statement was made, throughout salvation history, we learn more and more and more about what is happening. And then Jesus comes and puts a face on God. That's why Jesus, you'll get no more signs. The book of Hebrews, St. Paul says that in days past, God spoke to the prophets and the patriarchs through visions and dreams. He did burning bushes and all Mount Sinai, all those really scary things to let us know that he's there. You know, he did all these things, but it was all progressive. But now when Jesus came, it's done. You'll listen to him or shame on you. This is why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You know, again, like we in our human, the guy behind the curtain, I don't believe everything you say, guy behind the curtain. So I'm not going to believe that there's only one way to learn you or to get to you. Okay, don't put your eggs in that basket. Do not think for a moment that you can come up with your own plan, or I don't like the plan that I heard, so I don't have to believe that one. This is the state of a lot of people when it comes to their faith in our day. This is why so many different religions and this group and that group and everything like that. Jesus Christ established one group. One. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Any other group that calls themselves a church and is not on the back of Peter is not Christ's church. There's something, and I'm not questioning their motives, or I'm just saying it's not Christ's church that he established. That's supernatural revelation, if you listen. Well, I don't like that because I go to this group over here. Who cares what you like? He doesn't. You need to be where he is. And that fullness is in the Catholic Church. Because I say so? No, because he says so. This is what is preached from the time of Jesus. This is what is preached through the pulpits of the Catholic Church. It is the deposit of the faith. And by these means only can we become learned. Started this out. Only those who are learned shine as the brightness in the firmament go to heaven. That's a very, very succinct, but yet a very, very explicit proposition. I said before, I use the liturgical year. You know, I can stand up here, and I do on occasion, and it's necessary to understand how the liturgical year works. Why is it broken up the way it is? Why is this day on this day? Why is it, you know, why do we do all these things every day? At the end of the day, the reason for it all is because this is the way God has communicated himself through the Holy Spirit, through his church, since it's been established. This is why some of the changes, a lot of the changes that are made in the past 60 years are so detrimental to communicating the revelation that God has communicated about himself. Well, the church used to believe that. She never stops believing what she believes. She builds on it, but she never stops believing it. So anybody who ever looks at you and says the church used to believe that, flee, because they know nothing about their faith. And if you think that they might, you need to work on it. This is revelation. Everything that's done in Mass, everything from what, and I don't mean just what's said, everything said, even things that are not said, that communicate that silence, that engage you in the silence of heaven, because we read in the scriptures that in heaven, right before our Lord comes, there's going to be silence. That's why before the canon of the Mass, there is a silent offertory, because Jesus is getting ready to come down on the altar. So we mirror this silence in heaven with what goes on in the Mass traditionally. This is what we learn. And again, it's not a matter of what's said, what's not said, what the priest wears, why we stand, sit, kneel, all these things. All of these things have a profound purpose. They all communicate a very deep reality of our faith. We just need to listen. We need to listen and learn these things. Case in point, first reading today. In traditional Masses, you will hear angels referred to repeatedly throughout the Mass. You will hear, we submitted to the intercession of St. Michael the Archangel at the beginning of Mass. We will submit to his intercession at the end of Mass. Anecdotally, when I first showed up in this place 15, 16 years ago, I'm probably over that now, I think it's 17 years. When I first showed up at this place, I've always had a devotion to St. Michael the Archangel. And as soon as I show up at the end of the service, you're going to hear a devotion to St. Michael. There was an email to the office the next week. We're not coming back there. We're going to, because he got up there and he prayed to St. Michael the Archangel. Now, a person that doesn't know a thing about St. Michael the Archangel, which is all about Jesus. This is all about Jesus. We don't ask anybody. We don't pray to anybody else. Well, that sounds real nice for you who have a Protestant bend. But at the end of the day, you don't know what the scriptures say. The first verse that we read today for the first reading. But at that time shall Michael rise up, the great prince who stands for the children of thy people. That's pretty important. It doesn't say, you know, in the future there will be a Messiah who comes and he will be. No, it says that St. Michael will raise up and protect you. Why? Because Jesus has put St. Michael in that position. And we know that from Scripture. St. Michael the Archangel presides over all the hierarchies of earth. He presides over all the angels that are in charge of everything in the earth. Your guardian angel, everything. That's what St. Michael does. He is the prince of the powers of this world. Okay, this is why God has put him there. And if that's the case, should we not venerate this one who God, respect this one who God has put over us in this world and the hierarchies in all of humanity, every government? It is like all the governments that really love God. No, all governments. As a matter of fact, in Daniel chapter 10, we actually have this little story where there's an angel over the exiled people of Israel and an angel over the nation in which was holding them prisoner. And when the people left, their angels taking them out, the angel, oh no, you're not taking them out because I'm the angel. And they confronted each other for a significant period of time. And what had to happen? Michael the Archangel came down and communicated to them what was going on, and then all of a sudden everything worked out fine. The two angels didn't fight one another. They weren't aggressive or belligerent toward another. He said, no, my job is to do this. Well, my job is to do this. Okay, what goes on? Who had to come and let them know what God wanted? St. Michael the Archangel. We know that from Scripture. This is why we venerate St. Michael. This is why we appeal to his intercession. He is the one that God has placed in this wonderful order between God and man. He's not just the prince over Israel. Well, it says that in the Old Testament. Yes, it does. But then as God has progressively revealed himself in the New Testament, he tells us that the Catholic Church is the true Israel of God. So if St. Michael the Archangel was over the Israel of the old times, he's over the Israel of our day, which is the Catholic Church. Galatians chapter 6, if you'd like to take notes on that. This is where it said the church is the true Israel of God. St. Michael the Archangel has been, is, and will be there for God's people in times of the uttermost distress. That's usually when he shows up, is when things are going really bad. Hence our devotion, particularly in days when there's a lot of bad things going on in our personal lives, there's bad things going on in the church, there's bad things going on in the world. To whom should we appeal? The one whom God has put over us. Yeah, appeal to God also. Appeal to him first and foremost. And that God, I hope you tell St. Michael to square this away, or square that, or at least protect us while it's going on. Or even if he doesn't protect us, make sure we're prepared for heaven. This is the St. Michael thing in Scripture. And if you listen to Scripture, if you know Revelation, you know this. So you don't go scurrying off. Oh, they ask St. Michael's intercession. Stop being ignorant. That's just the reality of a lot of people's faith. They're ignorant of what the Scriptures say. And it's getting really bad, really bad. You got bishops running around. There may not be a hell. Oh, what other thing did Jesus lie about, Excellency? This is a dangerous time in which we live. We need to know what God says about things. It doesn't even matter what color cassock you may wear. Yeah, check it out. If it doesn't sound quite right, probably not. That is if you know Revelation. So this way, it's important. We need to know these things. Like you started this out with, to know about God is how you get in heaven. Because I say so? No, because the Holy Spirit said so. Our Lord, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What are his commandments? Always that. Yeah. How many Catholics can name the Ten Commandments, much less in order? That's a sad thing. That's a sad thing. If our Lord Jesus Christ said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay, what are they? Oh, there's 10 of them. What are thou shalt not kill. That's always the first one everybody likes. Thou shalt not kill is like way down on the list. Way down on the list. That's the first one everybody comes up with. How about that? Love the Lord your God, you know, make yourself no other gods and all that stuff. Which means, you know, don't make statues. It means don't come up with anything else in your mind that distracts you from the worship of the living God. That's the first commandment. How can you call me Lord and not do what I say? Oh, you're my Lord. Okay, what did I say? Well, I don't like this part. I don't like that part that you said. I think everybody goes to heaven. So that part where you say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I don't quite believe that, Jesus. That's sad. That's ignorance. It doesn't bode well for shining brightly in the firmament, going to heaven. This is why we need to know these things, not just about St. Michael, not just about, but everything about your faith, the entire deposit of faith, what the Scriptures say indeed, what the traditions of your church have always been, what the magisterium of the church has always taught, not what it might teach at any given time. You need to know these things. That's how you become learned in God. And you don't have to figure it out yourself. He says it. We just got to take a little bit of time. Again, we don't know what we should at the get-go. To think that you're just born with this innate knowledge of how God wants you to be would be like saying that you could take a six-year-old and bring them to their first day of school and put a calculus book in front of them. Come on, get to it. No, you got to learn progressively. Each and every one of us has to learn progressively. We all learn at different rates. We all learn at different times. Heck, I was 50 years old when I was ordained to the priesthood. I lived for half a century. It's like most of your, newsflash, that's most of your life, you know, not being a priest. And then after 50 years, bingo. Okay, why? Because it took me that long. I ain't the sharpest knife in the drawer. It took me that long to get with the program. This is just a reality. Could I feel bad about that? Yes, and in some ways I do. But at the end of the day, he does all things well, and that was the plan. And obviously, I'll find out later on, that it was better that it happened that way than if I had a vocation laid on me in high school. This is just the reality of our Lord. We need to learn about him. Why do we need to learn about him? That's not a whole heaven thing. You know, you should be here today. I always say, why are you here today? The first and foremost, because I don't want to go to hell. Yeah, that is the first and foremost reason that should pop in your mind about why you're here today. Well, I'm only in my 20s or 30s. I don't have to worry about that. Oh, yeah, right. Okay, that's ridiculous. Come on, we'll sit down and I'll share stories. Everybody knows that's ridiculous. And so everybody wants to go to heaven because we need to get ready for judgment, right? Oh, here he goes with the judgment thing again. He's always talking about judgment. Why do I always talk about judgment? Well, because it's my job. It is my job to tell you what special revelation is all about, supernatural revelation. And that means telling you what the readings say. And every time I mention the judgment, it's because it comes up. Oh, we're talking about St. Michael the Archangel. How did that come up? Well, the next verse is, those that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some unto life everlasting, and others unto reproach, to see it always. Oh, okay. Everything's about judgment. Everything. This is just the way things are. I don't want to hear about dying in judgment. Yeah, nobody does, but hey, you know, it's just a thing. I've had to deal with a lot of dying over the past few weeks. the old masses of the dead for the 1st of November, the parishioner, then my father. Okay, you know, there's death. It just keeps coming and coming. And the older you get, the more often it comes. That's just, I don't want to talk about it. Don't cover your eyes. That's dangerous. Okay, you need to be learned. You need to be prepared about this stuff. It's kind of interesting. In the book of Daniel right here, it's the earliest explicit presentation in Scripture of a general bodily resurrection. It's one of those things that's progressive. In the Old Testament, that's like the resurrection. Well, that's like, it's very symbolic of the resurrection. We see that in Isaiah, in Ezekiel, in the book of Maccabees. It actually says about the martyrs raising from the dead, but it specifically says martyrs. This is the first place in the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit teaches us that there is going to be a general resurrection bodily of the dead. Not good people, not bad people. Everybody who sleeps in the dust will arise. Some to everlasting life, some unto everlasting reproach. This is where it gets specific. And then when our Lord comes, it gets even more specific. And then St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 gets even more specific. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if it's not about a bodily resurrection, the entire gospel and everything in Scripture is foolishness. It's foolishness. Because if it's not about a resurrection and judgment, then what's it there for? If everybody goes to heaven, it doesn't matter what, because Jesus just loved the heck out of you, everybody goes to heaven, there would be absolutely no need whatsoever for the Scriptures, for the church, for you to be here on Sunday. Never. There's no reason for it if there's not a judgment. At the end of the time, everybody's going to be okay. No, everybody's not going to be okay. As a matter of fact, use Jesus' stats, most people aren't going to be okay. Why? Because they're not learned. This is what the Scriptures say. There is a final judgment, and there are two options, none other. Eternal life, everlasting, eternal damnation. One of the two. Even if they pay attention to their... Oh, not everybody goes to heaven. Well, but the souls that don't go to heaven, they just cease to exist. Which, again, sounds very comfortable to bad people, but at the end of the day, that's not what the scriptures say anywhere. This passage, some to everlasting life, some unto everlasting reproach, to see it always, to see it always. Our Lord talks about hell, where that worm never dies and the fire never is extinguished, ever. Oh, that's scary. Yes, it is. So, start learning. It should be why you're here. Oh, I just go to church. Well, you should go to church to learn. You do not want to have everlasting reproach. I love the way that different English Bibles, that word, that Hebrew word, reproach, contempt, stench, shame for eternity. That's a bummer. And I'm not being flippant about it. It's just so sad that so many people put themselves in the position where they think they're just fine and they're nowhere near fine. Nowhere near. So we got to learn. You're never going to learn it all on this side. That's why God has purgatory and all that other good stuff. But you can make a good show of it. You can make a good show of it. You can actually try. You can actually read scripture more than just listening to it for the readings on Sunday. You know, this, you don't have to memorize the Bible or anything like that. But you need to know what it says. That's God speaking to us. Because, again, when that judgment occurs, and it will occur for everybody, then that last verse applies. At that time shall thy people be saved, everyone that shall be found written in the book. This is the reality of your faith. This is what it's all about, preparing for judgment. And I use this as a segue because, again, next week, after Christ the King, the next week is Advent, the beginning of a whole new liturgical year. And every time that liturgical year comes around, I say, get yourself back in the mode. Get yourself back in the mode. Understand what start engaging. Because if you haven't done it up to this time, it's not a matter of, oh, I just messed up. Fix it. Start learning. Start paying attention. There is no better time of year to do it than this. Because salvation history is repeated over and over again. At the end of the day, you know, in a nutshell, all these churchy sayings, the more you know about God, the brighter your future. You need to pay attention. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.